Chapter 52. Holden. Holden ejected his spent magazine and reached for a new one. His fingers hit only an empty space where he expected it to be. He hadn't been managing his ammo well. He'd wanted to keep at least one magazine in reserve. Corin was firing around him with her rifle. She had spare pistol ammo on her belt. Without asking, he started pulling magazines off her belt and putting them in his. She fired off a few more shots and waited for him to finish. It was that sort of fight. Cass was leaning around the corner, firing. Answering bullets hit every place on her side of the corridor except where she was. Holden was about to shout at her to get back into cover when the lights went out. It wasn't just the lights. So many things about his physical situation changed all at once that his hind brain couldn't keep up. It told him to be nauseated, just in case he'd been poisoned. It was working with 50-million-year-old response algorithms. Holden collapsed to his knees with the nausea, the sudden appearance of gravity being one of the many changes. His knees banged against the floor because he was no longer wearing a heavy environment suit, which also meant he could smell the air. It had a vaguely swampy, sulfurous odor. His inner ear didn't report any Coriolis, so they weren't spinning. There were no engine sounds, so the behemoth wasn't under thrust. Holden fumbled at the ground around him. It felt like dirt. Damp soil, small rocks. Something that felt like ground cover plants. "Oh, hey. Sorry," a voice said. "Miller's." The light level came up with no visible source. Holden was kneeling naked on a wide plain of something that looked like a mix of moss and grass. It was as dark as a moonlit night, but no moons or stars shone overhead. In the distance, something like a forest was visible. Beyond that, mountains. Miller stood a few meters away, looking up at the sky, still wearing his old gray suit and goofy hat. His hands were in his pockets, his jacket rumpling around them.
"Where?"
Holden started.
"This planet was in the catalog. Most Earth-like one I could find. Thought it'd be calming."
"Am I here?" Miller laughed. Something in the timbre of his voice had changed since the last time Holden had spoken to him. He sounded serene, whole, vast.
"Kid, I'm not even here. But we needed a place to talk, and this seemed nicer than a white void. I've got processing power to spare now."
Holden stood up, embarrassed to be naked even in a simulation, but without any way of changing it. But if this was a simulation, then that brought up other issues.
"Am I still in a gunfight?"
Miller turned, not quite facing him.
"Hmm?
I was in a gunfight before you grabbed me. If this is just a sim running in my brain, then does that mean I'm still in that gunfight? Am I floating in the air with my eyes rolled back or something?"
Miller looked chagrined.
"Maybe."
"Maybe?"
"Maybe. Look, don't worry about it. This won't take long."
Holden walked over to stand next to him, to look him in the eyes. Miller gave him his sad, basset hound smile. His eyes glowed a bright electric blue.
"We did it, though? We got under the power threshold?"
"Did. And I talked the station into thinking you were essentially dirt and rocks."
"Does that mean we saved the Earth?"
"Well," Miller replied with a small belter shrug of the hands, "we also saved the Earth. Never was the big plan, but it's a nice bonus."
"Good that you care."
"Oh," Miller said, with that same vaguely frightening laugh, "I really don't. I mean, I remember being human. The simulation is good. But I remember caring without really caring, if you know what I mean."
"Okay."
"Oh, hey, look at this," Miller said, pointing at the black sky.
Instantly, the sky was filled with glowing blue rings. The 1,000-plus gates of the slow zone, orbiting around them like Alex's dandelion seeds, seen from the center of the flower.
Shazam, Miller said.
As one, the gates shifted in color and became mirrors reflecting thousands of other solar systems. Holden could actually see the alien stars, the worlds whirring in orbit around them. He assumed that meant Miller was taking a little artistic license with his simulation. There was a croaking sound at his feet, and Holden looked down to see something that looked like a long-limbed frog with grayish skin and no visible eyes. Its mouth was full of sharp-looking little teeth. And Holden became very aware of his bare toes just a few dozen centimeters from it. Without looking down, Miller kicked the frog thing away with his shoe. It blurred away across the field on its two long limbs. The gates are all open out there? Miller gave him a quizzical look. You know, Holden continued, in reality?
What's reality?
Miller said, looking back up at the swirling gates and the night sky. The place where I live?
Yeah, fine.
The gates are all open. And are there invading fleets of monsters pouring through to kill us all?
Not yet, Miller said, which is kind of interesting in its own way.
I was joking.
I wasn't, Miller said.
It was a calculated risk, but it looks clear for now.
We can go through those gates, though. We can go there.
Can, Miller said.
And knowing you, you will.
For a moment, Holden forgot about Ashford, the behemoth, the deaths and the violence and the thousand other things that had distracted him from where they really were, what they were really doing, what it all meant. He would live to see humanity spread to the stars. He and Naomi, their children, their children's children. Thousands of worlds, no procreation restrictions. A new golden age for the species. And the Nauvoo had made it happen, in a way. Fred could tell the Mormons. Maybe they'd stop suing him now.
Wow, he said.
Yeah, well, let's not get too happy, Miller said. I keep warning you. Doors and corners, kid. That's where they get you. Humans are too fucking stupid to listen. Well, you'll learn your lesson soon enough, and it's not my job to nursemaid the species through the next steps. Holden scuffed at the ground cover with his toe. When it was scraped, a clear fluid that smelled like honey seeped out. This world was in the station's catalog, Miller had said. I could live here someday. The thought was astounding. The sky shifted, and now all the ships that had been trapped around the station were visible. They drifted slowly away from each other. You let them go?
I didn't. Station's off lockdown, Miller said. And I've killed the security system permanently. No need for it. Just an accident waiting to happen when one of you monkeys sticks a finger where it doesn't belong. Is this Ashford cocksucker really thinking he can hurt the gates?
And there are worlds like this one on the other side of all those gates?
Some of them, maybe. Who knows?
Miller turned to face Holden again, his blue eyes eerie and full of secrets.
Someone fought a war here, kid. One that spanned this galaxy and maybe more. My team lost, and they're all gone now. A couple billion years gone. Who knows what's waiting on the other side of those doors?
We'll find out, I guess, Holden replied, putting on a bold front, but frightened in spite of himself.
Doors and corners, Miller said again.
Something in his voice told Holden it was the last warning. They looked up at the sky, watching the ship slowly drift away from them. Holden waited to see the first missiles fly, but it didn't happen. Everyone was playing nice. Maybe what had happened on the behemoth had changed people. Maybe they'd take that change back to where they came from, infect others with it. It was a lot to hope for, but Holden was an unapologetic optimist. Give people the information they need, trust them to do the right thing. He didn't know any other way to play it. Or maybe the ship's moving was just Miller playing with his simulation, and humanity hadn't learned a thing. So, Holden said after a few minutes of quiet sky-watching, thanks for the visit. I guess I'd better be getting back to my gunfight. Not done with you, Miller said. The tone was light, but the words were ominous. Okay. I wasn't built to fix shit humanity broke, Miller said. I didn't come here to open gates for you and get the lockdown to let you go. That's incidental. The thing that made me just builds roads. And now it's using me to find out what happened to the galaxy-spanning civilization that wanted the road. Why does that matter now if they're all gone? It doesn't, Miller said with a weary shrug. Not a bit. If you set the nav computer on the Rossi to take you somewhere and then fall over dead a second later, can the Rossi decide it doesn't matter anymore and just not go? No, Holden said, understanding and finding a sadness for this Miller construct he wouldn't have guessed was possible. We were supposed to connect with the network. We're just trying to do that. Doesn't matter that the network's gone. What came up off Venus is dumb, kid. Just knows how to do one thing. It doesn't know how to investigate. But I do. And it had me. So, I'm going to investigate. Even though none of the answers will mean fuck all to the universe at large. I understand, Holden said. Good luck, Miller. I said I'm not done with you. Holden took a step back, suddenly very frightened about where this might be going. What does that mean? It means, kid, that I'll need a ride. Holden was floating in free fall in an environment suit in absolute darkness. People were yelling. There was the sound of a gunshot, then silence, then an electric pop and a groan. Stop! Someone yelled. Holden couldn't place the voice. Everyone stop shooting! Because someone was saying it with authority in their voice, people did. Holden fumbled with the controls on his wrist and his suit's light came on. The rest of his team quickly followed his example. Corin and Cass were still unhurt. Holden wondered how long in actual time his jaunt into the simulation had taken. My name is Hector Cortez, the stop-firing voice said. What's happening out there? Does anyone know? It's over, Holden yelled back, then let his body relax into a dead man's float in the corridor. He was so tired that it was a struggle to not just go to sleep right where he was. It's all over. You can turn everything back on. Lights started coming on in the bridge as people took out hand terminals or emergency flashlights. Call Ruiz, Cortez said. Have her send a team up here to fix whatever Clarissa did. We need to get the ship's power back. People will be panicking in the habitation drum right now. And get a medical team up here. Holden wondered where Ashford was and why this Cortez guy was in charge. But he was saying all the right things, so Holden let it go. He pushed his way into the bridge, ready to help where he could, but keeping his hand near his pistol. Cass and Naomi traded places with Juarez, so Naomi could help him with the repairs. Clarissa, formerly Melba, was floating near an open access panel, blood seeping out of a gunshot wound. Cortez was pressing an emergency bandage to it. Ashford floated across the room, his mouth slack and his muscles twitching. Holden wondered if the captain was dead, and then didn't care. Naomi, call down to the radio offices. See if they've got working comms. Find out about Anna and Monica and Amos. Try to raise the Rossi next. I really, really want to get the hell out of here. She nodded and started trying to make connections. Will she live? Holden asked the white-haired man tending to her. I think so, he replied. She did this, he added, waving a hand around to indicate the lack of lights and power. Huh, Holden said. I guess I'm glad we didn't space her.